What's going on, everybody? The third weekend of August baseball has come and gone. We had ejections galore. We had players getting pulled. We had the Little League Classic. Had a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff to talk about, Jake. We had a lady that fell asleep during a rally in a Brewers game. How about that? A lot of good stuff. Let's do it. Let's talk some baseball.
We're talking baseball.
All right. What up, Jake? How you doing? Welcome back to the show, everybody. Talking baseball, episode 12 or something like that. Every Monday, every Friday. This is the Monday episode, recapping the weekend series, some stories, some headlines. Jake, what up?
What's going on, Jimmer? I think we're officially, this is dog days.
You think so?
The next 11 days or so from, what is it, the 19th? From now to the end of August, I think you get a dog day exemption. I wonder if teams reach in for that. But I mean, September, you're going to have some call-ups, which, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like teams never abused. Now teams are begging for those roster spots. And I just think September's a totally different vibe than August. So I think up until now, everything's been pretty lively and good. I think we might have a couple dog days coming up.
Well, September is the time of the year when relief pitchers get hurt and starting pitchers get tired, and we have a good example of that. I think Doolittle went on the DL, IL. I mean, Hader can't get a clean outing to save his life. All these relievers that have been used a lot lately, a lot of them are getting tired, so I think that's part of the dog days. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'll allow it.
Yeah, and I think the other, I guess the spin zone off of that is that guys, you know, we've with a couple guys on the Yankees and a couple other players, like, your season's already in the books. Like, for us, J-Hap, he can only do so much in his remaining 5-6 starts. He can't really salvage the season. It's been a bad year for J-Hap. I think it's funny, though, if you're in the middle area as a player, and I think he's a guy that's going to get mentioned later, but someone like Jose Quintana, who's turning it on lately, you can reshape your whole season. Like, if he keeps it up, what he's doing, and we'll talk a little bit about the Cubs later, but if he keeps it up and he's a 6-innings pitch, double-digit strikeout weapon going into the playoffs, like you mentioned, Cubs fans used to not be stoked with him. He could get rid of all of that real quickly if he gets hot and he brings that to the playoffs. So there's a lot of good stuff going on, man. I need you to catch me up on the AL. I know we'll get there in a minute, but
we will get there in a minute, Jake. So hold your horses, because first we got to thank a lot of special people.
How are you doing spiritually and mentally before we get to the people we need to thank?
Well, I'm good today. So Monday, if you're not a fan of the Yankees, which I think majority of our listenership isn't over here at Talkin' Baseball, which I like a lot. I'm loving having interaction and engagement with baseball fans around the league in the same fashion I've had with the Yankee fans for the past couple of years. Like, the growth is so cool. And it also keeps me on my toes because I don't want to disappoint people and talk like an idiot like we hear
it
so
sucks,
many.
Sucks, man. It sucks. Well, you know, I'm so good at disappointing people, and I can't bring that to this.
Well, it's just because, like, I know, and every baseball fan knows, when you go to the playoffs, when you have national announcers talk about your team, and they just clearly know nothing. I half sympathize with them because it's so hard to know everything. Now, those people have teams of, you know, people that are telling them and informing them stats. You and I do not. So we're just trying our hardest to keep up with 30 teams and not sound like idiots, because I don't want to disappoint a specific fan base. But whatever. I like it. It's great. Monday is the off day for the Yankees, is what I started that sentence as.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for an off day. And then tomorrow they're on the West Coast trip, so the game doesn't start till 10 p.m. East Coast time, which means we don't do the pregame show till 7. So after we do this, I have like a really good like chunk. I'm going to New York City with the girlfriend. We're doing some stuff for her birthday. I'm excited.
That's exciting. I'm excited for you. Send pics. Nah. How about that? Okay, that's fine. We talked about it.
Yeah. It was offered.
And you are it was offered, declined at the deadline. Yeah, man. You are right. It's so cool, 'cause, you know, we are deep in Yankee land because we were there for, you know, 2-3 years. You're on three. I'm on two, whatever it's at now. But it is so funny now seeing a tweet come across and it'll be tagged at us and it's like, yo, check out this guy on the Braves that just made a great play. And it's like, all right, yeah, I'm here for baseball. So yeah, keep tweeting at John Boy, keep tweeting at me, talking Jake. And now let us do some mini tweets at some special people, Jimmy.
Yeah. This episode of Talking Baseball is brought to you by Sam Gorovitz. That's Magic Sam.
Magic Sam, friend of the program.
Friend of the program. Andrew Pelham from Pelham Bay. Pelham.
Was that movie good? Did you like that movie? Wasn't it like Pelham 1-2-3 or 3-2-1 or something?
Taking
like that?
Pelham 1-2-3. John Travolta hijacks a train. Pelham Bay. My mom's from that area, so like I think I just interested.
Okay.
Because of that. You know when like a movie's set in a place you know, you're kind of like,
oh, right.
I'm a little more interested.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that's what happened. So thanks, Andrew. Mark Kirwan.
Mark? I've seen Kirwan around, yeah.
Marky K. Melissa Burris. Appreciate you.
Mel Burr.
Austin Trotman.
Trotman. What a... you got to be a power hitter with that name.
Have to be. A Trot? His initials are A Trot. That's his shorthand.
A Trot. Jim, his last name is literally, it's Trotman. Yeah. Go Trot, man. Hit a home run.
Jacob Hernandez.
Jacob Herr, yep.
Alana Short. Now, she tweeted us and said she just wanted to hear me butcher her name.
Yeah, so we think it's Alana. We might get some feedback for that. But
that seems too easy.
Maybe that was the mental game on her end, though. I don't know.
Is it somehow pronounced a V? Can't be.
Can't be. Not how letters work.
Iana? Maybe a Y?
You're going to crush this next Iana? One. Stoked for you.
Tom Jenkins.
Good.
Dylan Neville. Sean. Just another Sean.
Yeah. Sean.
I think Sean signed up for Talking Yanks and for John Boy Media, and he tweeted at us and was like, I was wondering if it was me. If that was me, because my name's Sean, and then I checked, and I didn't put my last name, so it was me. So thanks, Sean. Jesse Rodriguez.
J-Rod.
Nate Quarry.
Ooh, I like that name. That's a good prospect name. Nate Quarry gets you excited to see what that kid's got.
What about this? Joey Yankee fan. How can
Joey
you,
Yankee fan. I mean, you gotta... Man,
you're, talk about a birthright.
Yeah, hope you're drafted to the right team there.
David M. Glines.
David Glines, yup.
Mark Szymanski.
Strong.
We had a teacher in high school. Stephen A. Sussman. Sussman. The Sussman and the Trotman. Murtaza? Murtaza Raza? Taza Raza?
I know we struggle with names. If that name's real, that's an awesome name, Murtaza Raza. If you're messing with us, that's also kind of fine.
Michelle Maldonado.
That's a good name.
John Corky.
Corkery.
Corkery, yeah. And Luke Winters.
Burr.
Wow, good. Those are our most recent Patreon subscribers. It's $2 a month. Help us out here as we grow and, you know, allows us to do other things and take care of some hosting fees and all of that nonsense. So we really appreciate it. If you go to patreon.com/JohnBoyMedia, you can support us there. You can also go to shop.johnboymedia.com, get yourself an I Love Baseball shirt or some other shirts. We got a bunch in the store. But yeah, we appreciate it. You also get a chance to win 2 jerseys every month from affordablejerseys.com. They are majestic manufactured, fully licensed jerseys. You can choose the player and the team. We do a raffle for our patrons. And they get access to be live with the show. We got some people here. We got Andrew Pelham. We got bacon steak to go. So we got a lot of people. Hayden Cart, good name. So thank you. Let's get into some baseball, Jake. I have the soundboard now. So I found this. I wanted to get like an old-time boogie baseball sound. Like there's a song called The Baseball Boogie, and it's really good, but it's singing.
But, did you say old-time boogie again?
Old-time boogie.
God, I like that. Put that on the sound.
Anyway, so I found one. I'm going to test it out. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, but I think the report should have some backing.
Okay.
All right. Am I up first with the National League report? Or are you up first with the National League Report?
I'm up first with the National League Report.
All right, Jake. The National League Report. Here we go. On your mark. Let me know what happens over there.
Jimmy, in the National League, we start out in the NL East, down in the dirty, the Atlanta Braves. Jim, all they do is pass another test. After losing game one, they win the final two games against the Dodgers, Jim. The Braves, they just keep checking boxes. And Jim, definitely nothing bad happened involving my guy Ronald Acuna either. So the Braves win 2 out of 3. Against the Dodgers, really good stuff. 5.5 games back of them in the NL East. The Washington Nationals hosted the Brewers, and Jim, buckle up. After a 2-1 first game where the Nationals won, Milwaukee wins game two 15-14. 15-14 in 14 innings. Some are calling it the game of the year. I think that might have been your nap person, Jim. We'll get there. Washington follows it up with a 16 spot on Sundays to win the series. That Nats offense has been doing things. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, Jim. Oh, mama. The Phillies, they welcome the Padres, but they lose the final two games, including a one-run loss in the rubber match. Good for the Padres or bad for the Phillies? Yeah. The Metropolitans get their interleague on. They win the final two games in the three-game set against the Kansas City Royals. DeGrom with another great start. Yawn, that's just what he does. And your Miami Marlins came to my mile-high city. They get swept by the Rockies. Hey, how about the Rockies? We've already got some crazy talk on Rocky Sports Radio, baby. I like that a lot. Let's jump to the Centrale, Jim. You heard about the crazy Brewers Nat series. The St. Louis Cardinals are percentage points ahead of the Cubbies to be in first in the NL Central. The Cards split 2 of 4 at home versus the Reds. Jim, Sonny Gray's ERA is down to 2.98, by the way, for Cincinnati. Speaking of those Cubbies, they went to Pittsburgh, lost on a walk-off game one, but they won the following two games, including Sunday night in Williamsport. Good times at the Little League World Series. A bunch of 12-year-olds mocking Craig Kimbrell. And in the West, you know the Dodgers lost their series to the Braves. You know San Diego won their series against the Phils. And you know my Rockies swept the Florida Fishies. The San Francisco treat. The Giants take 3 out of 4 in the desert versus the Diamondbacks, including a 10-9 extra inning win where some guy named Yastrzemski hit 3 home runs.
Jeez, did he really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And maybe we won't fully deep dive on that wink, wink, nod, nod, because he might be mentioned in a little bit.
Okay. All right. Important. Crazy. I had some thought processes while you were giving me these reports. My first was, I was upset that the Phillies lost. They sweep the Cubs. I want the good teams to make powerful runs, you know? And then I was like, yeah, but the Padres are young and fun and hungry. And then I said, okay, I've cemented it. The Padres are my spoiler team. I'm rooting for all the teams to do good.
Nice.
Except I'm rooting for the Padres in the National League and the Blue Jays in the American League to spoil everyone's fun.
Official spoiler crew. Yeah, I like it.
My personal. I'm only taking one team out of contention that I'm rooting for. Otherwise, I want all the races to go like just keep pushing everybody farther and farther and harder. But I'll take one.
Everybody gets to pick one team from each league that's out of the race that they can root for. Otherwise, root for the good baseball.
Yeah, you can do what you want, but that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I think the Padres will be like, all right, go spoil some shit.
It's hard to work it into the breakdown there, but I think it's funny, you and I had a fun little debate about that NL Rookie of the Year. It sounds like Tatis Jr. is going to be out for the year.
Sounds like a bad injury, too. Not good.
Yeah, and it's a back thing. It sounds kind of weird. You wonder how much of it is precautious because he's really young in their future and how much of it is bad, but that sucks for baseball in general. But now you said you can root for the Padres, so that's good. And freaking Pistol Pete, it sounds like he wants to go get it anyways. You're going to hear about him a couple times this episode, bud.
Yeah. So the Brewers and Nats series was crazy. A lot of the home runs, did you see them? Did you see like Rendon hit the home run? He threw his bat up because he thought he flied out and then apologized. Yeah. He's like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. That was funny. The next home run by Soto, and Devers had a home run like this earlier in the year too, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Devers and Soto. They're not home run swings. Those are the right ones where, like, the juice ball really hasn't upset me because everyone's playing with the same ball, so it's like, whatever.
Right.
You know? Do it, compare people to the league that they're playing against, and it's all fair. Where steroids was, some were taking it, some weren't, blah, blah. Everyone's playing with the same ball. But those home runs kind of break my heart. Like, that Soto home run is not a home run. I don't know if anyone saw it. It's an oppo swing. It's a nice, like, slap double, maybe, or fly out. It's not a home run swing.
Yeah, Jim, you got the lip reading on Tito. Francona came out to the bump to pull one of the Cleveland relievers, and DJ LeMahieu hit a short porch shot. And he clearly said something along the lines of, like, that doesn't get out of there last year, right? Like, that's like that ball doesn't normally get out. And the juice ball is definitely showing its head. And again, I think the way you phrase it is, like, don't be mad about it because both teams are doing it. And you probably have a couple guys on your teams that are benefiting from it. But there's a couple plays in each game that you're like, okay, what did that hit?
Yeah. So what did the Cubs do here?
So the Cubbies, they played Pittsburgh, right? They lost game one on a walk-off, which was kind of tough. Kimbrel just came off the IL. I don't think he was available for that game. And they didn't use Strope either. I don't know if he was tired, but Pittsburgh walks off on them game one. Cubbies win the second game, and then they went to Williamsport. So they still end up winning the series 2 out of 3. With how badly the Pirates are struggling, the Cubs were, you know, hunting for that sweep. But I don't know. 2 out of 3, I mean, it's Major League Baseball. You're going to lose 60 games.
And the Cardinals split a set, are you said?
Yeah, the Cardinals. So the Cardinals is the one that, I mean, they split with the Reds. We know how quality the Reds can be when they're good. But it was at home for the Cardinals. So, I mean, the split there is, it's a little bit of a shoulder shrug. Sonny Gray does his thing because, of course, he does. And the Cardinals did. They won on Sunday, which if they had lost 3 out of 4, that is so much worse than the split.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need to win 3 out of 4 when you're racing. They stay in first place. The Cardinals stay tied for first place with the Cubs. So it's not anything crazy, but Cardinals are actually one up in the loss column. They could have been they could have been 2 up if they take care of business versus the Reds, which I think isn't unfair to say they would have liked to.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the Reds are one of the surprising teams that they still have that plus. They have a positive run score differential this year. And, dude, I mean, Sonny Gray's having a great year. So you're right. I mean, you obviously want that, but I mean, the Reds can win a game when they want. Like,
yeah. you're hosting them. Cardinals, whatever. You're still up in the loss column. You're in a good place to be. And, man, the farther we go, the more these teams like the Giants and the Phillies, they're only 2 games out of the wild card and 3.5 games out. But the deeper we get, the harder it is to entertain the idea of them doing it. We have to find. We are going to do that mini episode, like, who you should be rooting for.
Like, yeah.
You know, I think, you know how there are sister cities? I think we're going to call it, like, sister fans or something like that.
Okay. I like that. One of the bigger things that jumped out to me that I don't think is a storyline, but would be a storyline of the NL, the Nats are separating a little bit. Right now, in the wild card hunt, like, the Phillies and Mets are both 2 games back of the Cubs. Milwaukee's 2 games back of the Cubs. Washington is 1.5 games up from them. So, I mean, when we're talking about this crowded NL and, you know, either the Central or teams chasing the wild card, and you look at San Francisco, who's 3.5 games back, and you start doing this, you know, can they still be a part of it? They've 7-3 in their last 10, et cetera, et cetera. The Nationals have now created a gap between the Mets and the Phillies, which, again, they're going to play those teams a lot, so one bad series and you can lose it. But the Nationals, they've taken a baby step forward to, you know, potentially being that home team in the wild card game with and if it's Scherzer, I mean, I'm not betting against them.
Mm. Mm. not betting against them. The Nationals are scary. I mean, they have that rotation.
And Jim, they've been putting up crazy runs lately. I'll see if I could get it up quick. And you mentioned a little juice ball, but on Sunday they put up 16. And Saturday they put up 14 in a loss. There's the 2-1 pitchers duel before that, but the game before they put up a 17 spot. So in three of their last four games, they've scored 14 plus runs. So yeah. And you know what's funny? They've been doing the crazy bench antics stuff. They've been doing the race car stuff.
Yeah, they've been doing that a while. Yeah.
Hey, that stuff looks really cool when you're scoring 14 plus runs. I'll say that.
Fun's fun. Forever and always.
Fun's fun. Especially when you're putting up big numbers. Fun is fun.
Yeah. All right, let's do the AL report. Then we do have a couple storylines I want to touch on before we go into segments.
Give me that American League, Jim.
Did you hear the background music as it was going?
I did not.
Yeah, I think it's low. I don't know how I like it or not. I'm going to do it. We'll just get a response. I think I'm searching for... I really want like the baseball boogie music without the lyrics, but I couldn't find that anywhere. Have you ever heard the baseball boogie by Mabel something?
I feel like yes, you've shown me it. I wouldn't have seen it outside of you.
It's from the Ken Burns documentary, but it's
right.
It's pretty good. Pretty good lyrics. All right, anyway.
Good.
Here we go. Your American League report. The Yankees and the Indians split a four-game set. The Indians winning the bread. The Yankees winning the meat. Get it, Jake? Like a sandwich?
Sandwiches.
Like they won the outside games, and the Yankees won the inside games. You like sandwiches, right? Okay, cool. Moving on. The Mariners and the Blue Jays, they met up. Toronto won the first two games, but they lost the next two. Kikuchi put on a hell of a performance. More on that later. The Red Sox swept the Orioles as Baltimore does their best to reclaim the title of worst team in Major League Baseball. Red Sox get bad news on Chris Sale, but Rafael Devers remains an absolute stud. The Rays hosted the Detroit Tigers and lost the first game, but then won the next two via walk-off. Tigers ain't scared of Baltimore's footsteps, Jake. They stay the worst team in Major League Baseball, but that will be an interesting battle to watch as we go forward. The Twins made their way to Arlington to beat the Heat and beat the Rangers. They swept the four-game set. That's huge for Minnesota. A four-game sweep does wonders. They reclaim first place alone. The Angels had three wins in all of August, and they got three more this weekend, baby. They take 3 of 4 from the White Sox. Good job, the Angels. Double your win total. Mike Trout passed Derek Jeter in WAR in like half the amount of seasons played. Incredible. Houston went to Oakland and lost the first two games. Athletics say, hey, we can play with you. That extended their losing streak to 5 straight, but Zach Greinke ends it. He shuts them down in game 3, and Houston, hopefully for them, will get back to their winning ways. Wrong button. Got the soundboard back, but still rusty. Haven't had it for months.
I like it.
Standings-wise, nothing really changed. Cleveland fell back. With Minnesota gaining ground, Cleveland split a 4-game set. The Twins won a 4-game set, so that's a shift in the Central. Tampa Bay keeps winning, and Oakland and Boston. Oakland's behind Tampa. Boston's 6.5 games out, with three teams ahead of them. So I don't know.
Yeah, Jim, I'll start in the Central because I think you're right with the Twins. They've been going through some stuff. Nelson Cruz went down. Eddie Rosario's in a little bit of a slump right now. To win 4 games at Texas, who, by the way, not to toot my own horn too much, Jim, but last Talking Baseball episode, I said, when they drop under 500, that is a dangerous spot for the Texas Rangers, and that's exactly what happened. I think Texas is going to start spiraling a little bit. Prove me wrong. Texas Rangers, prove me wrong. But they are 2-8 in their last 10 now, 4-game losing streak. Jim, the other action that really jumps out is the Houston Astros. And again, this is what makes baseball great, and this isn't shots fired. At one point, the Houston Astros lost 5 straight. They went through that impressive rotation a full time, and they lost five straight. Baseball.
If I'm an Astros fan, I'm not fazed by that at all. I'm playing the get it out of the way now. We've went to deep into the postseason the last 2 years. This team knows. You know, it's like the 90, was it the 2000 Yankees? They kind of limped into the playoffs. They had been there the last two seasons. They're like,
right.
Once we got to September, we knew exactly what we needed to turn on and get going. I think Astros, they're kind of going through that. They have the division basically locked up. All they need is health and home field advantage. And I think they can do a sprint. Like, I don't think they want to lose. But I think it's like, all right, yeah, health is important. So if that's what happens, that's what happens. And if you're an Astros fan, you should be thinking the same thing. I don't think it's indicative of their potential at all.
Yeah. There's a nice 3-6-1 double play in the Astros game with Greinke covering. Zach Greinke, one of my favorite players to watch in Major League Baseball, because I think he loves baseball, but he doesn't like people watching baseball.
Doesn't like crowds, no.
Zach Greinke's ideal situation would be, you know, 9v9, line him up, and there's nobody watching.
Did you hear that story about, you know, an article came out after Greinke got traded of teammates like just like kind of talking about how weird he is? And they're just like, he's brutally honest. And I forget what teammate it is. They asked him, like, what's your favorite?
Jake Lamb.
What's your favorite strikeout?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I threw a changeup like way out of the zone, and this dude swung and missed at it like an idiot. And Jake Lamb was like, you talking about me? And he was like, yeah, it was you. Just laughed in his face.
He's a weird guy. But yeah, he covered first on a double play, and like the shortstop pegged it. And I'm pretty sure the look Greinke was giving him, like, I know you pegged that to turn the double play, but that like hurt my hand.
No, it was someone tweeted it at me and said, can you tell me what Greinke said here? And he just like looks back at whoever player, like maybe the catcher or someone, because Correa rifled it, and he just goes, "That was fast." That's what he said. That was fast. It was kind of cool.
I like him. I like watching him play.
Oh, he's really good.
What else is in the AL here, Jim?
I don't like listening to him yell, if we're being like super honest.
Yeah, the grunts can be tough. I get that.
What else in the AL? Is that the question? The Rays, man, if the Tigers come into town, they're the worst team in baseball. The Rays lose game one, and then it's close. They walked off. I mean, Tigers traded their closer. They don't have a bullpen. They're bringing up rookies and stuff like that. So if you're the Rays, on one hand, you have to win those games.
Right.
And on the second hand, you did. You did what you had to do. Two walk-offs, which actually, like, they had fun. Our dude G-Man Choi had a walk-off. That's fun. And Brasso, they walked Tommy Pham to get the force. Brasso comes through. That was pretty cool, too. The Rays, man, if they get healthy, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know the full reports, but I'm reading that Blake Snell is expected to return at the beginning of September. Brandon Lau is supposed to return late August. Glasnow is expected to be out until sometime in September. What if Glasnow and Snell come back in September and they're Glasnow and Snell? I think that it's not a 50-50 and them both coming back and being good is kind of less than. The odds are against that. But
right,
a Rays fan should be dreaming, just like Yankees fans are dreaming about Severino and Betances. And then Avisail Garcia is out right now. Yandy Diaz is out for the rest of the season. And then Yanni Chirinos is out, but he's likely to return at the beginning of September. So, like, Yanni, Glasnow, and Snell, if they can come back and pitch for them in September, I'm sorry, but A's fans, you have to be rooting for these guys to have setbacks.
Yeah, and that's, I mean that's kind of tough. But, Jim, I think the bigger thing there is, I think the Red Sox run last year will change the course of baseball. I think there was always the stigma, you know, the starting pitcher, I own the ball that day. This game is in my hands. That's gone now. Like, it's a team. Do everything you can do to win. Even pitchers, who normally pitchers are these creatures of routines and habits, I think that Sox team changed everything where it's all hands on deck. And I mean, even if Glasnow is a weapon out of the bullpen, whatever you could get out of Snell, Yanni Chirinos. Ryan Yarbrough, Jim, has been incredible. Charlie Morton is in the Cy Young race. So you're right. I mean, even if you just get, if you get Glasnow, Snell, Yanni Chirinos back in the fold in any fashion, I mean, that changes the shape of that team, especially when we might be talking about them in a one-game wild card game. If they have all of those hands on deck, I mean, they're just going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. No, definitely. I don't know. Can we, let's move on to just like the major storyline of the, baseball right now. I don't know if this is the biggest. I think the Yankees and their ejections are big. Yeah. Hey, you and I were A1 top news article on ESPN. So maybe we're the Look big storyline. No, but that was cool. Acuna, your boy.
Whoa, hey, oh. Wind was blowing in.
He gets pulled. So if anyone doesn't know, Acuna hit a shot that he thought was a home run. He fully watched it, even started making some faces, thought he got all of it. It hits the top of the wall. He's not on second. He's on first. I got to do a breakdown of this because my favorite part. He's disappointed in himself. He's a stolen base guy. So
classic young kid move.
Classic young kid move. So he's thinking, I got to make up for this and steal second. And the pitcher and catcher are like, he's going to steal to make up for that. So they do a pitch out and nail him. I love it. I want to do a breakdown of this, but I'm going to be gone for the next 2 days. So whatever. He gets thrown out. Snedeker, is that his name?
Snitker.
Snedeker, somewhere else. Pulls him. Pulls him out of the game. He gets pinch hit for, I think the guy who pinch hit for him hit a home run, no?
I think it was our guy Duvall who came in for him.
Yeah. But this is, and then the quotes after the game were very much, yes, I pulled him. He can't do that. The team is ahead of the person, and him celebrating a home run is not nearly as important as him getting to second base for the team. And he let 24 guys down, and that's not what we're going to do. We are trying to do big things this season, not personal goals. We're trying to do a team goals, and pulled him. And he's a young kid. He's 21 years old. Do you have a problem with any way this went down? Ortega hit the grand slam after him. Thank you, Andrew Pelham in the chat.
That wouldn't be the way I'd phrase it. I would say this. Brian Snitker, who his name is close to Brant Snedeker, the golfer.
Yeah, that's why I got confused.
Brant Snedeker, VU, Go Doors, Fandy. Brian Snitker, Jim, as you mentioned, like when you think of MLB managers, Brian Snitker doesn't jump to the forefront. You know, he doesn't have a playing career like Donnie Baseball that you look back on. Even someone like Dave Roberts or Aaron Boone that you're like, okay, you know, I saw that guy growing up, blah, blah, blah. Brian Snitker is kind of Brian Snitker. Not to be rude. I mean, I'm Jake Storielli. I think I'd rather be Brian Snitker. Whoa, getting dark. Anyways, Jim, when you do something like this, and we've met, I said it in my break, my NL report, the Braves just keep passing tests. They just beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 at home. So, Brian Snitker, the risk here is that this goes sour. And you have to know who Acuna is and if he's going to respond well to this. One of the better things they have going for them is, Jim, a very similar thing happened last year with Cody Bellinger. And Cody Bellinger got yanked mid-game for not hustling. And, I mean, look where he's at now. So, and I think the biggest thing and was the risk that Snitker played, and I think that paid off huge, is that the Braves did go on to win this game. So if you're Ronald Acuna, and he looked like he was pretty, he knew he messed up. He knows that's not acceptable, even for being a young star. But the fact that the rest of your team goes on to win without you, and your replacement hits a home run, I think that's just a little bit of humble pie that can really focus a young guy and keep him going forward. I think he respects the game of baseball, and he looks at Brian Snitker as his manager and says, you did the right thing. I hope one day when I'm old, I do that to the young guy that's coming up and it needs that. So I've been team Acuna, and I think it's going to work well for them.
I hate using the word take. I have some thoughts on this that I don't know if they're like good or bad or however. I don't know if people would not like them or like them. I like that he got pulled, right? And I think I like that the manager was honest about it and spread the message. I don't think the way his tone was in the presser was like, I'm mad at him. It was just, no, this like, yeah. I need to nip this in the bud.
This is how this happens. Yeah. This is how this works.
I have a weird thought, and I think, you know, one player can tell me you're fucking wrong. And I'd be like, okay, I'm wrong. Acuna gets picked up at 17, right? Signed by the Braves at 17 years old. His life from 12 to 17, I'm guessing is a lot of showcases and tournaments where he's trying to get scouts to watch him and he's trying to look out the best of him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He didn't play college or high school.
Right.
And even college and high school things. And then at 17 in the minors, they do not care about team results that much in the minors. It's all about your individual performance. How are you doing? How are you looking against competition? This may be like not the first, but the first time where like the team matters, the team result matters more than his result. And it's not that's not in a bad way. Like from 17 to 20, when he was in the minors, his personal result mattered way more than the team result.
It's getting Ronald Acuna as good as Ronald Acuna can be.
Yes. So I'm not trying to say this in like a negative light at him at all.
No.
That's how the minors work right now.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like, hey, dude, we're not a young team just like looking to be fun. Like, we have big goals and you are part of that. And like, you know, we can't do this. So I think there might be something to that. I have no idea. It's something I thought about, like, you know.
It's definitely an interesting angle. I don't think you said anything there that's really wrong or can be questioned. I mean, we don't know how like true it is. I mean, maybe the Braves organization does hammer in that the Gwinnett Braves have to be as united as they can. But you're right. I mean, everyone's worried about their career and getting to the major leagues.
So my brother,
and so are the Braves.
My brother was very good at baseball as a little kid, and then going into like high school and stuff. And once he left his like town team. Like, that was very much the team needs to win. The team needs to win. But then he played some AAU ball. It's pretty individualized. Like, yeah. I don't think the teams are that galvanized or like, hey, you know, you got to put the team ahead of you. It's like, no, I want to, like, go get scouts looking at me. And that's probably been Acuna and, like, all these kids' life forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the only thing I wouldn't want to pigeonhole them in is, you know, any team that you or I have been on, I mean, you look back at that team and you're like, that's a team. And I'm sure those guys go into the games and they still very much want to win and do good and all that. So I think that was the only twist at the end that I'd tweak a little bit. But yeah, no, I think it's more than fair. And I think, you know, we see it with Gleyber Torres. When he makes a bad play, he's very much 22 and he puts a sad face on. I know Acuna, I think it was earlier in that game, he almost had a crazy home run rob. He got it in the glove and then it banged out the wall and it just blooped out. And you wonder, you know, was that he hits that home run ball, he thinks he's got it. You know, maybe being young, he lost focus in that moment. And like Brian Snitker is basically saying, you know, if that happens in a playoff game, I mean, think about how much love I've been giving Ronald Acuna lately. If that happened in a playoff game, he hits a bomb, he thinks it's gone, he pimps it a little bit, he's stuck on first. Now, and then he does exactly what he did, Jim. He tries to steal second to make up for it, and he gets thrown out. You now went from runners on second and third with no outs to now just a runner on third with one out. In a playoff game, he would get destroyed for that. In a way, this is almost Brian Snitker like looking out for him preparing for what's coming up in October.
Yeah, I like it. I'm not upset with anything. I think Acuna had good quotes too. Like, I didn't mean to do it. It's just kind of like that's what happened. Paul O'Neill said that on broadcast. Like, sometimes you just watch balls and you're not internally thinking like, let me pimp this.
Right.
I think he was pimping it, but whatever.
A little bit. And I think the other storyline we had here was, and I mean, I think we're going to give him love in a little bit too, but dude, Pete Alonso, man. I think we're going to look back at some of this stuff and say juice ball a little bit, but he breaks the NL rookie record for homers. And it's all around. I know it's easy to make some jokes about the Mets. They went on their special run there and they got away from those jokes. Man, the Mets called Pete Alonso up to start the season instead of delaying his arbitration time. All he's done is rake for them. He's like a solid pillar on that team. I think it's funny, Jim. I know you want to see a little more personality out of Pete, but at the same time, we've talked about the Mets trying to break that kind of Mets persona, the little brother, the Mets. And Pete Alonso is just this big, sturdy, stable. He's not screwing around too much. He's out there to win and go get it.
I don't need more personality. His personality is fine. It doesn't really have a funny bone in him. He's very serious.
Right.
He's very serious. All right, let's move on to our standout performances, Jake. You got standout one here. Do I go first? Do you go first?
I think I go first on Mondays. And I, Jim, it's a spoiler. I mentioned him before. Mike Yastrzemski. Familiar name, folks? He is the grandson of Yaz, the Red Sox great. I'll start with his grandpa, who was an 18-time All-Star, MVP, Triple Crown, 3-time batting title, 7 gold gloves. And Jim, you know this is one of the things I love. From 1961 to 1983. Think of how different those time periods are in your head. Yaz Sr. played from almost the 50s to the early 80s. Those are different worlds in my brain. Anyways, Jim, and the reason I want to start with that, his grandson, Mike Yastrzemski, he goes 3-for-6, 3 home runs, 4 RBIs, 3 homer day for San Francisco. And Jim, know what's great about a 3 homer day? When all 3 of those homers matter, they won this game in the 11th. His 3rd home run was the game-winning homer. And Jim, this is where it gets even better for me. Another Vandy alum, shout out, anchor down, go Doors. Jim, this is his rookie season. He turns 29 in a couple days. Mike Yastrzemski didn't get a shot in the major leagues until he was 28. He went from 22 to 28 in the minor leagues with the last name Yastrzemski. You don't think dudes were dicks to him? They absolutely were. You're only here because your grandpa's got that last name. And guess what? He got his first chance this year, and he's having a really nice year, Jim. 74 games, a .276 batting average, .327 OBP, but an .874 OPS for a rookie. 16 homers, 45 RBIs. Again, and that's 74 games. He's basically on track for a 30-homer, 100-RBI season if he played the full year. And, Jim, I've got a little icing on the cake for you. He was traded at the start of this season. You know who he's traded from, Jimmy?
No, I don't, to be honest.
Mike Yastrzemski was traded from your Baltimore Orioles before the start of the season for minor leaguer Tyler Herb.
Jesus.
So again, you and I have gone on these kind of, it's mostly on Talking Yanks that we've done these rants about how are the Orioles not giving guys a shot? Well, Mike Yastrzemski leaves the Orioles. He's playing on the Giants, who might be fighting for that wild card
spot.
Who's
the guy that traded Tyler Herr?
Tyler Herb. I don't know if he's played. He hasn't played in the majors yet. In AAA this year, he has a 7.16 ERA.
Damn. I was going to say, maybe if he's going to be good, that's still a good trade because they don't need bats right now, but they need future pitching, but I guess he's not doing good in the minors. Well, good job, Yaz. You know, they should trade Yaz to Toronto and just call him the Toronto Nepotisms.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. And Jim, I know
you got to get Pudge Rodriguez's son there too.
Derek, yeah, I think the final point before going on, because you know we like to make jokes, obviously,
and Bellinger.
But I think it's super. Yeah, the Blue Jays could just snag Bellinger. That'd be great, huh? Jim, can you imagine 6 years in the minor leagues with the last name Yastrzemski?
I think people were probably more interested in him. I think everyone in the minors is fighting. I think it's like from what books I've read, shows I've watched. I think it's a very supportive group. I think like majority of the minor league players are like in the grind with other minor league players, happy for him and like just trying to squeeze out some baseball life.
A little bit. I mean,
very 1980s bully to be like a dick to Yaz because his grandpa's good at baseball.
Right, and maybe there's a couple sour eggs that might have ruined it, and maybe that was it. But Jim, you know, I bet when his name popped up at the scoreboard at visiting places, I bet a couple drunk fans at a minor league game got on him.
Fans, yeah.
Yeah, so that's tough.
Your
so I mean, really
better than you. Yeah, he's really good. I know. Yeah, I admire him. He's my fucking hero.
My grandpa's better than you too.
Yeah, better than a lot of people.
Better than almost everyone. So, yeah, good job, Mike.
Yeah.
Jimmy, who's your standout performance?
My standout performance is Yusei Kikuchi. I think I had him on Slump Watch a while ago. He is having a rough second half to the season. He just delivered his best outing of his career, his first complete game, his first shutout. 9 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 walk, 8 Ks. He was in Toronto pitching to the young, hungry Blue Jays. He had 7 1-2-3 innings, Jake. Only gave up 2 hits. He was stronger as he went. He was hitting 92, 93 on the gun. His last pitch of the outing was a 94-mile-per-hour strike. Strikes him out to end it. It's awesome. I mean, yeah. Kikuchi looks cool when he's on. His fastball's got life, and his curveball's cool. I think he works like the plane, the tunneling a lot. So I like complete game shutouts. I like that Kikuchi corrected his season a little bit. And it was against a team who's not winning, but their lineup is legit. And he held him to 2 hits.
Yeah, and we've seen those Blue Jays can be pesky when they want to be pesky. Good for him. You know, Yusei got up to a pretty good start to his major league career. I mean, through May 25th, he had a 3.82 ERA. He was doing some good things. I guess until mid-May, he had a 3.4 ERA, and then things really got out of hand. He's been hanging out in the fives ERA-wise. So he twirls a good one, a complete game shutout at Toronto, which isn't easy to do in that stadium with that lineup. And, yeah, I'm rooting for him because I also want to see him be pretty good, Jim, because if you remember, the Mariners gave him a weird contract.
Very
I want to see.
Incentive-based, right?
Yeah. Well, they have a player. They have a team option, I believe, and the team option is from 22 to 25 at basically $17 million a year. So it's not like a joke option. It's not like, yeah, we'll pick him up for another year. It's like, holy smokes.
If we believe in you, we believe in you.
Yeah, so I guess I'm interested in that. And you're right. I mean, when we saw him versus the Yanks this year, he looked good. And, I mean, any international guy that does well helps grow the game, and I'm all about it.
All about it. You know what doesn't help grow the game? Or maybe it does, Jake.
Right.
I got the soundboard now. If you want to do it, you can do it.
Again, replaced.
Slump Watch.
Slump Watch.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Headphones going out on you or something?
It's a weird janky thing. I won't deep dive into it, but sometimes they just turn up to max volume. So that's a little perk I've got going on over here.
All right, we got a bunch of updates on the Slump Watch, and we're running late. And I'll be honest, I got to get out of here. I got a big important meeting for the company. So if this isn't going to be an hour and a half episode. John Lester, you put him on here. 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, 0 earned runs. So 6 innings pitched, 0 earned runs. That gets you off slump watch. I will say he walked five guys, and that's a bit concerning.
Jim, I actually put that in the plus column for some slump watch, because something that's developing about slump watch that I like is you do anything you can to get off a slump watch. Okay. If you got to walk guys instead of pitch to them,
all right,
and you can get out of it. So, yeah, Lester, you're off, kid.
All right, next one is Daniel Murphy. He only played two games. In one of them, he went 2-for-4. In the next, he went 0-for-3. Does 1 2-for-4 get you off of slump watch? In my mind, no. Because he's still, like, if you look at his last 2 weeks, still slumping. So I'm not taking him off.
Yeah, for me, this is a tough one because, I mean, I'm assuming there's a walk in that last game, which means he got on base 3 out of 8 times. And a 2-for-4 game is a pretty impactful game. And I feel like he's been sneaking towards the end of slump watch. So I don't know. I leave him to your guillotine.
Let me see if there's a walk. No walk in the 0-for-3. A hit by
stays.
Pitch. A hit by pitch. Bum.
Ooh. I love a hit by pitch to get off slump watch.
And the 2-for-4 game, he also had a sac fly. That's basically a 3-for-4 because you had a productive. I'll take him off for that. Yeah.
He's off. Damn. The hit by pitch was huge for me.
Max Kepler's been on slump watch. Max Kepler had 3 hits in 20 plate appearances this weekend, 1 home run and 2 walks, 176. The Twins swept, so he didn't hold them back in any way. 300 on base percentage, 176, but 3 hits in 18 plate appearances. I'm keeping Max on, but he'll probably come off very soon.
Max stays, and yeah, Jim, if any of our Twins listeners want to tweet at me talking Jake, Kepler slumping, Rosario slumping, Cruz went on the IL. I'm shocked that they had the 4-game sweep. If someone could let me know, like, what happened.
Who stepped up?
But good for Minnie. Jim, we got a couple guys here. Shin-Soo Chu went off, 6-for-14, homer, 1.252 OPS. Get out of here. Good job. I think even a little clap. Yeah.
Is it Shame to Flame?
It's really close to Shame to Flame.
It's a four-game set with a .467 on base percentage and 2 doubles and a home run, 6-for-14. I think that's Shane Beflame.
He's also on the Rangers. They lost all 4 games.
Slump watch is a personal thing.
Yeah, you're right. Aaron James Judge, he goes 4-for-13. It's funny because we obviously watched this, Jim. His slump peaked. We saw him bottom out, but he's getting out of it. I think he's off.
I think he's off because if we were not watching every at-bat and this was a different team, I'd automatically have him off because it's a .308 batting average, .357 in the most recent series. But as a Yankee fan, he's still kind of on like we're watching what Judge does.
Right.
But this
nationally, no.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Josh Hader blew another save, another earned run. He tied the game. He did get out of the bases loaded, no out jam, which was good pitching, but before that, he blew another save in the bottom of the ninth and gave up another run. So 5 outings now with an earned run. He's fully on slump watch.
Yeah, it's insane. And all of his peripherals are pretty much there except the homers. He's striking out more people per inning. His whip is pretty tight. He's just giving up double the homers he used to give up. It's pretty bizarre.
We had bases loaded, no outs, and you know, if you get a hit, you get walked off, you walk it off for the Nationals, and Hader kind of took advantage of knowing they were going to be eager and we just went high fastballs, 97 up, and they were just swinging right through him.
Like that.
It's kind of cool. You put Yordan Alvarez on here last week?
Yeah, he's as predicted, he was either going to be stick for a while with a rookie slump or get off real quick, aka the two options, Jake. He's getting off. He hit a couple home runs. 1.139 OPS. Good job, Yordan, who, by the way, had to step up for a couple of his teammates we'll talk about in a second. Cole Hamels with the DNP. And Manny Machado, Jim, this one's on you.
No, Steve Peralta put him on last week. 4-for-13 with 1 double, no walks. But that's fine. Like, no one's worried about Manny. He had his little slump. I think he's going to be fine. I'm taking him off.
All right. That's fair.
I'm not
Jim,
clapping.
I mentioned
for him.
Yordan Alvarez. We got No, no claps, Manny. You still got to be better than that. But we're just not watching you because you're in San Diego. You made that decision. Jim, couple guys hopping on to Slump Watch. We might have a whopper plopper or two. Jim, a couple guys in Screwston. Carlos Correa, he goes hitless for the weekend. 2 for his last 13, and they both came in one game.
Two for his last 23.
Six of his last 7 games have been hitless, Jim. Yeah. That's pretty insane. And Jose Altuve, you know, normally the strength of this Astros team. Jose Altuve is 2 for his last 19. That's a 105 batting average, Jim. And I know you like to check this in a slump. Jimmy, his OPS is technically 255. So those hits weren't very impactful. He's just slapping and hoping at this point. So, I mean, you know, and we wonder, the Houston Astros, they lost 5 straight for a little bit there. When those guys aren't doing what they do, that'll happen. And I think we got one more guy, Jim.
Yeah, we got Austin Meadows. He's this very similar to Correa. He had a hitless weekend, 2 for his last 26, and they came in one game. So 7 of Austin Meadows' last 8 games have gone hitless. That's not good, especially with, you know, there's the Rays winning, but maybe they wouldn't need to win on walk-offs because they do have injuries. They need Meadows to step up. It was against the Tigers, so come on.
Yeah, that's tough. That should be a pad the stat kind of weekend, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's have some fun.
Dirt nasties on fuego. That means I'm on fire, baby. Like Waco.
One of the better songs you could ever possibly listen to. I'm putting
huge for the soundboard. Run it, Jim.
I am opening up. Yeah, we gotta go fast. I am opening up with Lucas Giolito. He had a really good first half. People were talking Cy Young. Then he plummeted for like a month. He's back on track, Jake. In his last 2 starts, he's gone 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. Nothing really special there, but he has 24 strikeouts in his last 2 starts. Double digits 2 times in a row, 13 and then 11.
Should we have the White Sox pitching coach on in Fuego for Giolito and Nova?
No. But nope. Ivan okay. Nova said he wants to come back to the White Sox.
Love it. He Giolito, said, like, he's Nova, open to it, Kopech? Whatever. Yeah, if they pay him the most money, he would love to come back to the White Sox. Good call, Ivan.
Yes. Yes. Pete Alonso, we talked about him. He had a little slump after the home run derby. After the All-Star break, he went 6 for 12 on the weekend. 6 for 12 on the weekend. 11 for his last 17. 2 doubles, 1 home run, his 40th, 4 RBIs. His month of August, his slash line is 355, 444, 710 slugging, and 1.154 OPS.
Yeah. And Jim, I said we were going to mention him a few times during this show. I mean, he is so stable for the Mets, a team that's not normally associated with stability. Good for him. Jim, you had Justin Turner on here. I mean, you got the stats. He 583, a 1.476 OPS. I think the bigger thing for Justin Turner, and maybe this will end up being a mini episode for us, is we always like guys in the playoffs that are just a constant threat. Like a Yasiel Puig, Justin Turner. Whenever those guys are around the ball, they are a threat. And for me, Justin Turner, if you're facing the Dodgers, he is a guy you don't want up in a big spot because I just think he's going to win.
He's going to win. Have the Dodgers had like fun dressing Justin Turner and Dustin May up as each other? Two redheads with weird hair and beard?
I'm not sure.
Father-son portraits or something like that? They need to get on that.
Yeah. Yeah, get on that, Dodgers.
Yeah. Dude, Oscar Mercado.
Yeah.
He played against the Yankees this weekend, but I didn't even realize this, Jake. He had a 727 on base percentage. I was just worried about Jose Ramirez, who was crushing the Yankees the entire time. I didn't even realize Oscar Mercado, the rookie in Cleveland, 727 on base percentage.
And Jim, one of the funnier phrases that gets thrown around a lot in baseball, Mercado is an athlete. Like he just looks like an athletic dude. They can move him around the outfield. He gives you good at bats. Like I think that's becoming such a valuable asset in Major League Baseball. Like Mercado is never just going to go down. Like, that dude is tough, and we saw it live all weekend. When the Indians face a lefty, they move him up in the lineup, and he is tough.
Yeah. Good. Sucks that, like, he's not going to get a lot of Rookie of the Year love, is he?
I don't think so. I don't think war-wise he's going to end up there, and he hasn't played a ton of games, but he, I don't know, maybe top five. I'd have to get in there and look. I don't know.
All right, who do you got?
Jim, I have a couple quick ones. Marwin Gonzalez, I asked my Twins fans to reach out. He's the one guy that I know he did really well this week. He went 11 for 18, but like the homers and RBIs weren't crazy, so I still need some help from my Twins fans. But Marwin Gonzalez, and man, if he can get it going and get hot, dude, he talk about tough at bats. Marwin Gonzalez, John Gray for my Colorado Rockies, Jim. He goes 8 shutout. It's first Miami. I get it. But he's also having a really nice year, a 3.85 ERA, a 4.5 WAR in his last 5, 29.2 innings, a 2.73 ERA. The Rockies, you know, they needed something, and John Gray's kind of been that as they, you know, either try to put something together or at least get ready for next year. John Gray used to be one of the building blocks for them. And then, of course, my Cubs pitching staff, Jose Quintana, 4 straight quality starts in the month of August, 26 innings pitched, a 1.38 ERA. And it, like I started the show, man, if he could keep that going and pitch a couple big games for the Cubbies, he will be beloved by that fan base.
Yeah. Dude, I was looking at that John Gray outing, 8 shutout innings against Miami, but in Colorado.
Yeah.
How many complete game shutouts have been pitched at that stadium? That's what I wanted to look up. I didn't know how to look it up.
Well, I'm actually, I think I'm going to see Drew Kreisman tonight and do some Rockies stuff with him. So I can research that for you.
Okay, cool. Cool. Next up, who'd the Orioles get hot? What soundboard do you want for this? I just have the ones that come with the soundboard. Maybe I'll get Gary Thorne moaning for this segment later in the year.
Oh, that's so good,
Jim. We'll just do glass break.
Who'd the Orioles get hot? And Jim, this is a guy that he's been on En Fuego a couple times. Rafael Devers. Jim, he goes 7 for 13. He leads the AL in hits, extra base hits, and doubles. He's the first player under 23 with 100 runs and 100 RBI since Miggy Cabs. I mean, I think he might be in the running for most improved player. I don't know what that looks like fully in the AL. My dude's now getting into, you know, some pretty rare air this season. So good for Rafa.
Good for Rafa. All right, we are skipping Who Got Mad and Call Up Watch because we are out of time. Let's go to awards. We will
awards.
We'll circle back on the Call Up Watch because we had 4 debuts. We'll do them next week. We're doing awards, everybody. We're doing awards and then wheel the elevator talk.
All right, Jim, my first award is the Juice is Loose Award.
Woo!
Any OJ fans out there? Okay.
Probably.
Jim. Yeah, I think it's funny. There's like people that are fans of watching the OJ stuff, but like nobody's a fan of OJ. Anyways, Jim, the juice is loose. I think it was a theme of this episode. I thought it would be a theme, so that's why I went there. And it's a guy who still deserves a shout out, even though we gave him a lot of love. Aristides Aquino for Cincinnati, Jim. We talked about him a couple episodes, how he was, you know, breaking these home run records. He keeps going, Jim. He had 2 more home runs. The batting average wasn't there. I think the home runs might have been his only hits. But, Jim, let me read this list to you real quick. Fewest plate appearances to reach 11 homers in Major League Baseball in a single season. Okay?
Yep.
Number 1, Michael Jack Schmidt, Hall of Famer, 1976, 56 at-bats. Number 2, Aristides Aquino, 58. After him, Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, Willie Stargell, Luis Gonzalez, okay. But then Ted Williams. So we've got what? I don't know, 5 Hall of Famers surrounding him, and Luis Gonzalez, who, by the way, was in an era that gets remembered a little differently for home runs. So I think it's funny, our friends, or I guess your friends, I'm making them my friends, at Cespedes Family Barbecue tweeted that out. And my comment was just like, well, Aristides Aquino is going to be an all-time great, or he's going to be a memory from the juice ball era. I don't want to say I'm leaning the second, but it's definitely an option.
I've seen most of his home runs are pretty good contact, but yeah, you never know. I haven't seen that many wall scrapers, I don't think.
No, and I'm not saying juiced ball era in that way, but I mean the big open stance.
I love it.
You know, the pitchers might come around and find out his strengths and weaknesses a little more. Hey, maybe he is an all-time great. Maybe there's going to be a mini asterisk down the road. I don't know.
All right, my award is the I can't get no recognition.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin Gausman, not the best pitcher, Jake.
No.
Colorado. Grew up in Colorado. Got drafted pitching in high school in that Colorado era. That's impressive. He had an immaculate inning. The immaculate
One of your
inning,
favorite things in baseball.
The immaculate inning is cooler than the cycle.
Yeah.
It happens less than the no-hitter. Why? It gets no love.
We got to get you an immaculate inning shirt.
I guarantee we have people that don't even know what it is. It's when you throw 9 pitches. Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3, 1 out. Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3, 2 outs. Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3, 3 outs. Kevin Gausman with the immaculate inning. And some of them were like dirt balls that got swung over.
Yeah.
So it's Kevin Gausman gets it, but really I just used it as a jumping off point to say like, dude, why don't we celebrate that enough? I know it's like very trivial, but so is the cycle.
Yeah, and Jim, I mean, he had one start for the Cincinnati Reds, so I don't want to get too hyped up. But it was a good start, and what if
he's not starting for
them. Excuse me, he's relieving. He's relieving. Yeah. He's got the 4 games. I was looking at his stats for Gwinnett. Second Gwinnett Stripers reference of the episode. Jim, since he's pitching coach, I mentioned the White Sox pitching coach. If since he's pitching coach can quote-unquote take credit for fixing Sonny Gray, a.k.a. just leaving New York, but if he's got Bauer and he could do some good things with Gausman, I don't know, man. I'm getting excited for Cincy 2020.
I mean, so not only did Kevin Gausman have an immaculate inning, he pitched 2 innings and he struck out all 6 batters.
I'd say that's good.
The second inning was the immaculate inning. The first inning, it was a 4-pitch strikeout, 3-pitch strikeout, then full count strikeout. Paul DeJong, Yadi Molina. So good for if he's a weapon. Well, he's on Cincy, so they don't really care. But maybe he becomes a bullpen guy. Maybe they DFA him and someone picks him up and he's a playoff hero. Not going to happen. Impossible.
Who knows? Maybe he finds second life as a reliever. I mean, he's still 28 years old. This guy used to be a big prospect. Number 10 prospect by Baseball Prospectus in 2014. But I don't know. Guys figure out things differently.
Yep.
Jim, bring me to the elevator.
All right. We are getting on the elevator and going up to the penthouse. And you're in there with someone who is a fan of this team.
Oh, I like slightly different angle today. You're going up to the penthouse. So you're going to a party with a guy and you want to befriend them.
Yep, and I just skipped the Mets. Too much East Coast bias. Mariners?
I can hit Seattle quick.
Let's hit Seattle. All right, if you're stuck on an elevator with a Seattle fan, you got to make some coffee jokes. You got to, first, if you move to Seattle, you got to get over the Seattle freeze. They're very unfriendly to people that move to Seattle. It's a thing. Right. It's called the Seattle freeze. So just get over that. They don't dislike you. They're just kind of, pretty closed off. They have
Denver used to have that. They shook it.
They shook it?
Yeah.
They got a lot of people on the injured list. They're not playing for anything. I would like them to become a spoiler team. They just beat the Blue Jays, who are a spoiler team. But they're not doing good things. I mean, you could always make jokes about how much your GM loves trading people.
Right.
You can talk about Kikuchi. He got my standout performance. Like, hey, did you see that Kikuchi thing? I think that might be in the right direction.
I've got a couple positives that I think you want to hit. You start with the backstops. Omar Narvaez. I always slaughter that last name. Jim, he's having a really good year. 102 games, 17 home runs, 287 batting average, 361 OBP, 825 OPS, 122 OBS plus. From a catcher, that's really good. And by the way, the guy he's splitting time with, Tom Murphy, 51 games, he's got a 284 batting average with an 882 OPS. So the Mariners catchers, you could focus on that a little bit. The other guy in the lineup, Jim, that you want to give a little pat on the ass to, it's our guy Austin Nola. We talked about him a little bit. Brothers with Aaron Nola. He's been playing good ball, Jimmy. At 29, getting his chance. He's hitting in 45 games, 131 plate appearances. Not a small sample anymore. 314 batting average, 362 on base, and an 899 OPS. Good for Austin Nola.
Good for Austin Nola. You know what? I was looking at their top three pitchers this season. It's Marco Gonzalez. Yeah, Marco Gonzalez, Mike Leake, and Kikuchi. Right.
And Mike's gone, but
what's that?
Mike's gone, but
oh yeah. Well, he was good, but Marco Gonzalez, his ERA is playing tricks on you because of some Albatross starts, which is
yeah.
In 21 of his 26 outings, he's gotten 3 earned runs or less. So that's something to build off.
Yeah, Jim, and he's a Colorado guy, so I like him. Former first round pick. And you're right. I think he is your kind of starting pitcher. He's got a 10 or he's got 110, 16, and another 6. Outside of that, I mean, he's about as steady as they come. That's really nice.
So now Seattle's got to decide in this next series. They're playing the Tampa Bay Rays. Do they want to help out their division foe, the Oakland A's, and beat the Rays? Or would they rather, you know, give some games to the Rays so the A's lose out? If you're an A's fan, you are a Seattle Mariners fan. So maybe you're an A's fan. You get in the elevator with a Mariners fan. You say, hey, I got to root for you. Then they go to Toronto again and then New York. And then four games against Houston. They can really help the Yankees out there, but I'm not putting a lot of stock in them. They got 6 games against Houston. So if you're a Yankees fan, you're rooting for the Mariners right now. That will be on our future
sister
mini
teams.
Episode. Is that enough? I saw a lot of Mariners fans calling Scott Servais a pussy.
Who?
I don't think so. He's had some calls where he kind of just folds his hands and goes, Jesus Christ, you guys suck, and doesn't argue.
Yeah.
Which I get.
Longest playoff drought in sports.
Vogelback looks like Chris Farley. Make that joke.
Yeah.
All right. That ends this episode, guys. I do apologize that we had to cut this a little short and skip some segments. I hope you understand that as we grow, opportunities come, and I have a really important meeting to get to that I'm currently a little bit late to, and that is why we rushed this. So I apologize. I'll make it up to you in the future. Wish me luck. Thank you very much. Go baseball.
We're talking baseball.